Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. You gotta light 'em up before they burn it down. Better dig deep, put 'em in the ground. But on their hands, they're hellbound.
Before they burn it down.
Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here. The price of gold is near all-time highs, but many analysts think we're just on the front end of a major wave of growth. A lot of people are worried that there could be real problems ahead for the U.S. dollar. We've seen hyperinflation before, and it's certainly possible that we could see it happen right here in America. If something like that were to happen, it's possible that we'd return to an economy run on gold and silver, and your dollar bills could be basically worthless. That's exactly why United Patriot Coin has created the Gold and Silver Patriot Pack. Each Patriot Pack is a pre-made bundle of small-sized silver and gold pieces, making it a perfect way to start building up your stack of precious metals for barter and exchange, and it can also serve as a long-term store of value that's more inflation-proof than the U.S. dollar. And here's a special offer. United Patriot Coin has created a special discount just for our audience. You can get 10% off your first gold and silver Patriot Pack by using the promo code WEST10, WEST10. Since each piece has a relatively small value compared to standard units like a kilo of silver or an ounce of gold, each Patriot Pack is basically a wallet full of small bills, so you can use a little at a time without having to tap into your main stockpile. The Patriot Pack is a great way to get started in precious metals, but United Patriot Coin can also help you to build a real portfolio of gold and silver customized to your needs, whether that's for short-term barter and trade or long-term asset protection and growth. They can even help you invest in precious metals through an IRA rollover account. So shop online at unitedpatriotcoin.com or call their office in Texas at 844-202-7834. Hey, greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. You know, on April the 19th of 1775, you know, remember Paul Revere, the British are coming, won it by land, to it by sea, blah, 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 blah. But the whole thing was that we forget the whole purpose of why the British were landing there and why they were marching inland toward Concord, Massachusetts. And it was to destroy a weapons and armaments factory that was supplying the Sons of Liberty. Because the British knew that if they could disarm these Americans, if they could take away their ability to be armed, they could continue to have them as subjects and not citizens. Now, on that day of April the 19th of 1775 at Lexington Green, the place where I had the honor of standing, there was no United States Army. That came in June of that year. There was no United States Navy. That came in October. There was no United States Marine Corps. That would come in November of 1775. But there were citizens. And that's why when you read the words of the Second Amendment, where it says a well-regulated militia, that's talking about us, just like it was back then. The men who came out of their taverns and came out of their homes who had been well-trained. That's what regulated meant. They understood that they were necessary for the security of a free state, the rights and freedoms of a free people. Therefore, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, I was just so delighted to read and find out that the newest weapons manufacturer in the United States of America was located right here in Dallas, Texas. And when I did a little study and research about Rost Martin, I said, you know what? I'm going to go out and buy one of these firearms. Because number one, I want to support weapons manufacturing. As you know, one of our sponsors is Watchtower Firearms.
another Marine. I don't know what it is I have about supporting these Marines, but they're near and dear to my heart. And so we have the CEO of Ross Martin here with us. That's Chris Toomer. Chris Toomer is the new Ross Martin Dallas, Texas-based firearms manufacturing company. Chris previously worked for Springfield Armory, and I have a Springfield Armory Ronin 45, and served as an infantry officer in the 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines. And prior to his work at Springfield Armory, Chris received his Master's of Business Administration from the University of Michigan and a Master's in International Business and Public Policy from Georgetown. He worked in financial tech for J.P. Morgan and consulted for Accenture before beginning his career within the gun industry in 2019. He began Ross Martin with his wife, Stephanie, to continue the legacy and advocacy of the Second Amendment for future generations. Chris, thank you so much for being here with us at the Steadfast Law Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about your background, where you're from, what inspired you to want to be a United States Marine.
I grew up outside of Chicago in a town called Barrington. We had a lot of military in my family, so my grandfather, and then also my brother served in the United States Navy. Okay. And it always kind of intrigued me.
Yeah.
So after college, I had a few buddies senior year that were going to OCS, and I kind of took the conservative route of going to New York first and working in a finance job there. And then about a year and a half in, I just said, you know, this isn't it. There's something I want to do for my country. And so I decided to kind of drop everything. And it was definitely a shock to my parents.
I bet it was.
And this was right around the time when we had announced that, you know, every Marine was going to Afghanistan and we were really surging up. So it was a time when, you know, there was obviously a lot of turmoil. But I went to OCS in 2010, and kind of the rest is history.
Was this after September 11th, 2001?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so that had an incredible effect on you, especially being in New York and the finance industry. What happened?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was in boarding school when that actually happened, and I remember a lot of my friends that they had family members that were affected by the World Trade. So it was certainly something that kind of always stuck in my mind as something that, you know, I wanted to do something to play my part in furthering what we're doing in this country. So the United States Marine Corps was definitely the most obvious option for myself. Yeah. So
not the Army?
Yeah, I looked at the Army.
Nah.
Yeah, I looked at the Army too.
There you go.
I did. The pipeline there's a weight on both sides, and I kind of just went Marine Corps. So there were a lot of people signing up at that time. So, you know, the wait list for schools and stuff were really long.
So what was it like mentally? Okay, here you come out of New York. In the financial industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're showing up in Quantico at, you know, OCS and then TBS.
Right.
I mean, what a culture shock.
That is a very accurate point. And I definitely heard it from a few of my classmates there calling me Wall Street and everything. I would always make sure I was one of the people that was, you know, trying to be first and, you know, giving my all, because I never wanted it to look like, you know, I didn't have the requisite background to be there and whatnot. But it was definitely a culture shock. I knew it was where I wanted to be, and, you know, especially, you know, there was a lot kind of mortgaged on going on that, because I had left my job in New York, moved out of my apartment, and my dad was like, my parents were both like, hey, so if you're going to go
this is it.
Like, you're not moving back into me, back in with us. So, and if you wash out of OCS, you wash out. No job, no nothing after that. So
you can go to Air Force.
That's very true. Could have probably got that in the next week, but it was a decision that I put there as one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
And then you put it down to be an infantry officer. I mean, there's something special about being a Marine rifle platoon leader.
Yes.
What was that like?
Being a rifle platoon commander, I always say, is probably one of the best jobs I've ever had. I mean, being able to just be so connected with the entire platoon. You know, you do everything with the guys. You PT with them. You're digging trenches. You're in the defense with them. You know, And I really enjoyed the ability, like after patrol or whatever it might be, to just kind of sit back and just talk to the guys and kind of just hear the funny stories of what they're talking about and what they're going through. So, you know, during training missions and stuff, I try and spend as much time with those guys as possible to just, you know, get to know what makes them tick as well.
How many deployments?
So I did two. So I did two of the Asia Pacific deployments. So we did a lot of the security within South Korea, Thailand, the Philippines, Malaysia. So our battalion was, the 3rd Marines obviously is the closest to all those areas, so we were always kind of on standby to go and kind of and reinforce areas around that. So.
And when you look at what is happening today, that Indo-Pacific region, with you look at the incursions of China, I mean, how important it is, but yet we see a Marine Corps now that's at World War I levels,
right.
Less than 200,000. That's unconscionable.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've noticed that, and I've seen, you know, I have a lot of friends that are still in mm-hmm. the Marines, and it's not, I heard a statistic that officers are getting out around the 8 to 10 year mark at a record level right now, and that's really unfortunate because I know a lot of great Marine officers that have gotten out, and it's just, you know, they, for one reason or not, they've just decided to not make it their career.
And so that's a critical point, because those are the individuals that have been a platoon commander, been a company commander. And now you're looking at those, you know, staff officers, and all of a sudden you have this dearth of leadership.
Right.
And it's not easy to regenerate that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not, you don't just find those sitting around. You have to have been through a few things and mm-hmm. seen, you know, some good, some bad. And so, yeah, it's very unfortunate. So
how long did you serve?
I served for 5.5 years. So I got out as a captain in 2015.
So the transition out of Marine Corps, I mean, this is interesting. You're in the finance industry, and now you've been in the Marine Corps. What got you into the gun manufacturing industry?
So I actually got out of the Marine Corps, and I went back pseudo into the financial tech services industry.
Uh-huh. Well, you were a badass then.
Exactly. Now I can go in, right? Yeah. Now everyone actually wants to hire me, right?
Yeah.
So I went and got my MBA at Michigan. Yeah. At the same time, I was doing consulting with Accenture. And right around that same time, I met my wife, Stephanie, mm-hmm. and her family was the ones who started Springfield Armory. So,
wow.
Over time, I had always, you know, I'd known firearms, but really kind of dove into it.
Yeah.
And had the chance to spend a lot of time with her father, kind of hear, you know, the different paths that he took to create Springfield, the ups and downs of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this seems like something I'd want to get involved with. And, you know, that was really kind of the genesis of starting, you know, working in Springfield and then starting Ross Martin was Stephanie and I both have such a reverence for all of the legacy companies that, as you spoke about earlier, helped further the Second Amendment, Springfield, Glock, SIG, everyone that's brought the Second Amendment and been able to, you know, bring the right to bear arms to the American mm-hmm. citizens. And what we saw, especially in around 2020, is you saw a lot of different people coming into the firearms industry, and mm-hmm. we wanted to kind of put our mark down of what can we do to bring a next generation of firearms mm-hmm. ownership to the American people.
So. What brought you to Dallas, Texas? Other than the fact it's Texas.
No, I mean, I've always had this weird kind of just love for Dallas ever since I did a layover here and just was here very briefly, but there was just something about it that drew me in.
It's freedom.
Then, yeah, 100%. And then my wife, Stephanie, she went to SMU. So,
oh, go ponies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, after we met and we were dating for a while, we kind of just said, hey, you know, I think Dallas is the spot, and no better place to start a gun company. So
no kidding. So when you look at the atmosphere that we're in right now, where, you know, you just had the ATF come out this weekend on another stupid, goofy, you know, rule.
Right.
And we live in a constitutional republic. We're supposed to be governed by laws, not, you know, by executive rules. What inspired you to step out on faith to create Ross Martin? And where did the name Ross Martin come from?
So Ross is actually Stephanie's grandfather's middle name.
Okay.
And then Martin is from my side, and that's my great-grandmother's maiden name. And that's, she was kind of just a very, she helped raise my mom a lot. And then she also just was just a great personality, a big personality, lived to 102.
Wow.
Was just a very, you know, strong black woman, strong individual. Mm-hmm. And she just really was an inspiration. So wanted to really honor both sides of the family in this. And so when it comes to the, you know, the formation of Ross Martin, it was really just about, as I kind of touched on, like really kind of doing what we could of creating an opportunity for more people to have accessibility to firearms, the training, the necessary education that we think is really important, and provide them with an avenue of where can they get this training, where can they learn, you know, different instructors and things along those lines. And that was also kind of the decision of where we decided to price our pistol as well, as at a really competitive $459.
Incredibly competitive.
Exactly, at an American-made gun. And, you know, not everyone has $600-$700 to spend on a polymer pistol or a gun. So if you lower that barrier to entry for people, it encourages more people to kind of gravitate towards your brand.
When you're sitting back and you're developing your business plan, what were the one to two major obstacles that you saw out there?
There's a number of barriers to entry, excuse me. I would say kind of trying to figure out where you're going to position yourself in the market, because any person that pays attention to the gun industry knows there's a lot of black polymer pistols. So how do you differentiate yourself? How do you offer something that, you know, someone might decide to buy your gun over somebody else's gun, and for that was quality, price, and, you know, accessibility, that we didn't want to come out and have this big announcement and then no one can find your pistol. So we were pre-shipping pistols to different distributors and different dealers even before we fully launched. So that was a big kind of hurdle. And then also just making sure we were surrounding ourselves with really like the right people on our team. Mm-hmm. I think we've done a really good job internally of bringing a team at Ross Martin together that's really passionate about the Second Amendment and is willing to step up and do, you know, they might be doing one or two jobs, but they're, you know, happy to do it because they see the big picture and just communicating that to them, on a daily basis. So this is what we're doing, you know, keeping them like we're going to be on this cover and celebrating it with them.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, it was an incredible purchase point. And when I got this weapon, and we've got a couple of versions of the Ross Martin RM1C, Romeo Mike 1 Charlie, 9mm, I shot it over at my favorite little spot, Lake Highland Shooting Center. Mm-hmm. And I ditched my Glock 43X MOS.
Love to hear that.
Yeah.
Great range, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, this thing was incredibly smooth, accurate, I mean, true, you know, little adjustment. I'm a hard sights guy. I'm an old school guy.
Okay.
I'm not one of these young bucks. And that's why I have my tomahawk here, because I think you got to close with and destroy the enemy. But I was very impressed with this. What was the engineering mentality and thought process in you developing the RM1C?
So that's, we get asked this question a lot. And so what we did was we found, and we were looking and we were trying to think, did we go from the ground up? Do we, you know, partner with someone? And so the design of this gun is based off a first gun of the AREX Gen 2 Delta.
Okay.
And so we found this gun, talked to them. We're like, hey, this is a great gun, but this isn't really for the American market. You know, we went through the whole paces of testing, accuracy, you know, shootability, and we had, you know, myself, a team, staff, everyone shooting this gun and trying to figure out what changes needed to be made. So what we did is we re-engineered the grip module, so the frame, we did changes to the slide, and we added a lot of things that we think, you know, especially around the trigger, that we think have really separated it as a gun that, at that price point. Because what we decided was, let's pack this gun full of features, make it a trigger, give it a trigger that, you know, you when normally people are dropping in triggers to get it to that that wall and that short of a reset. And then, you know, again, offer it at a $459 price point, and then that'll bring a market to us just right there. So
how is your marketing going right now?
Very well. So what we do is we have a lot of kind of gun influencers that have, you know, we've been fortunate enough that they've reached out to us and they want to get their hands on it. So, you know, we don't pay for our marketing. We send the gun out and we say, hey, just be as transparent as possible. You know, just say, you know, tell us what you like about the gun. And for us, like, we want to be a flexible company. So if there's something you don't like about the gun, you're not going to hurt our feelings. Like, let's write it down. Let's talk about it. I mean, we won't be able to institute every change, but let's put the things into the gun that, you know, on our next iterations when we come up with the RM2, that we can start putting these things in, like whether it's grip texture, whether it's, you know, a part on the frame that they'd like to see a little bit like bumped out, whatever it might be. We just want to make sure that we're a company that's listening. And, you know, that's one of the things too, is Steph and I are trying to go to these events. We're trying to be forward facing and talking to people and, you know, be, you know, shooting the gun next to the same people that are going to be buying the gun and just listening to what they're saying. So
now let's talk about the two versions that we have here, because like I said, mine is here. And all for all you little scary little snowflakes out there, as you can see, there is no magazine. The weapon is cleared. Okay, there's nothing in the chamber, so it's always about gun safety. Let's talk about the two versions you have here, because like I said, I'm more of a hard sights guy.
Sure.
But one of the great things about the RM1C is that it comes ready to be have an optic.
This is our FDE version, and then this is our black version. We also offer a gray version. As I was saying earlier, the features are rich in this gun. So in the back, we have a nice U-notch rear, it's compatible with night sights on the XD, XDM footprint as well. It comes with a metal RMR optic plate, which you were alluding to, but we also sell all the other optic plates on our website. So if you want to shoot a Shield or a Doctor, you know, we have that, or, you know, a Delta Point Pro. We've got these nice top anti-glare slide serrations. So, and then kind of going down, we have right here, we have the undercut right here, so you're not going to get that knuckle if you're shooting all day. We have a three-slot Picatinny rail right here, so you can put any weapon light that you want, so the X300 Surefire or the Streamlight TLR. We have the extended trigger guard, so if you're shooting cold weather and you've got gloves on, you're not going to get it hung up. We've got a nice, this is something that
people have started to notice a lot more now. It's a little beveled edge right here, and that allows your trigger finger to find the trigger a little bit more. And then also the wall and trigger on this gun is just really phenomenal. So really nice definable wall, and then just a really, really short reset. So I think, you know, as I was saying, I think whether you're a new shooter, whether you've been shooting for years, I mean, yourself, you've been shooting for a very long time, you know firearms. So I'm very, very honored that you think so highly of our firearm.
Absolutely.
We put a lot of care into making sure that, you know, different levels and different shooters were happy with this. So.
So your plan is to stay with the 9mm pistol?
Right now, yeah. So it's that's kind of an area that we feel we can be really successful in. It seems like, you know, ammo prices are, you know, through the roof in a lot of places. So, but we're going to have other variations of this pistol. And we our team of engineers has plans for different calibers, but I think we need some time for the brand and the gun to mature in the market before we start, you know, dropping other things. But I would say that, you know, a lot of people send us notes of, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that?
Yeah.
There's good stuff coming. There's good. We're going to try and appeal to a lot of customers. So
Does it seem interesting to you all out there in the audience that, how old are you?
I am 39.
Okay, I'm 63. Two guys that just happen to have a certain level of melanin in their in their skin are here talking about firearms and the Second Amendment. And here you have a gentleman that has served our country in uniform that developed, you know, an American-made firearm right here in Dallas, Texas. You know, we aren't what people out there in the world would, you know, think is the narrative.
Exactly.
Do you see things changing, you know, as far as this whole thing about, this is just about old white guys?
So, I mean, you couldn't have said it better. I think you're seeing this new influx of different shooters of, you know, race, creed, whatever it might be, that
a lot of women.
Yeah, a lot of women. I mean, that's one of the fastest growing women and minority and African Americans are the fastest growing shooting segment in the country. So, I mean, when you see that, you know, why wouldn't I want to be, you know, involved in this industry? It's exciting. I mean, I think it's one of those things where we were fortunate enough to take part in an event a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Pew Party. It was out in Waxahachie. And I mean, you saw every single different type of shooter there. And it was just a world-class event with, you know, tons of different levels of shooters. And like, I mean, it just felt like, man, this is a great community that's building. And it's like a grassroots kind of effort, and you just to see the excitement of people getting to touch and shoot firearms was just really kind of overwhelming. It was fantastic, so I really enjoyed it.
What's next for you and Stephanie and Ross Martin?
In terms of product line, or just in terms of Ross?
I think in general.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Why I have this show.
Yeah, no, I think you know, I think what we'd like to do is just kind of get further involved in different Second Amendment. You know, whether it's policy or different initiatives, I think that would be, now that we've kind of come to market, established a little bit of a name for ourselves, and we will over the next, you know, few years, but really kind of do our part to continue to take part in different initiatives that can help further Second Amendment rights and access to it. So I think that as a company, that's something that we would like to be, you know, on the forefront of.
Well, one of the things I think that I would like to partner with you on is maybe we can have a little event at the Lake Highlands Shooting Center, and you bring out your product and we can talk about it and we can allow people to meet you, kind of like a meet and greet.
Absolutely. I was just at Lake Highlands last
week.
Yeah, okay. I was just there. So we just
Mark's dad called me and he asked me because I think they're going to buy three or four.
We're happy to, and I told him, you know, we're just going to send people, if people, because a lot of people at like NRA and whatnot will say, hey, I love your gun, I'd love to go shoot it, and hopefully we can point them there.
Are you going to have a booth at the... Okay, good, because so that's coming up here next month.
That'd be great. Anyway, if you want, love for you to come by the booth. And
of course I will.
Yeah, I'd love for that.
You can count on that.
That'd be fantastic, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to, as a brand, do anything we can to, you know, help partner with you and
No, it is what I can do to help you, because I am proud of you, number one, for continuing on a legacy of service, sacrifice, and commitment.
Thank you.
And number two, continuing on the legacy of making sure that we protect our citizens and make sure they stay citizens and not subjects. And that's what the Second Amendment is all about. How can people follow you, follow Ross Martin? How can people order this incredible firearm?
So we are at rossmartin.com. Our social media is Ross Martin Inc. On Instagram. And really, the best way to order this Ross Martin, I think, is, and that's what we've learned too, is like we ship to a lot of all the major distributors across the country we're in right now. And a lot of different dealers, we're starting to see that network grow. But go into your gun store if you don't have they don't carry the Ross Martin, and say, can you order a Ross Martin RM1C, whether they're through their distribution or through their buy group, and they'll have one there in the next couple of days. We have inventory and we're ready to ship. So
I'm going to give you the final 90 seconds.
Okay.
From your heart, what would you like to say to the audience out there in the steadfast and loyal world?
I just want to say thank you for your support. What we're doing here at Ross Martin, we think, is very important. We want to continue to further the Second Amendment and provide access to those individuals who want to exercise their Second Amendment. Here at Ross Martin, we're committed to providing you quality products, and we want to ensure that your experience with Ross Martin from day one to the, you know, you buy